Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the broadcast today by referring to two letters. Both of the letters use the word compromise. The first uses two words, however. It is without compromise. The other, just the word compromise. I received both of these letters today. One is from James, who says, "Thank you for your faithfulness, your willingness to stand in the much-needed gap of defending the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In my opinion, there is no one better at keeping the defense on point like you. I am learning so much about how to defend the faith with gentleness and respect without compromise. To me, you model Christ and His truth at a level few others do. It isn't just a matter of knowing the truth, it is how we communicate the truth. I want you to know that I pray that I have begun financially to support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute." And then he says many other kind things, including, "You are in my top five people I would choose to spend the day with if given the chance." Obviously, a letter like that is of great encouragement. We do what we do because life and truth matter. And then I received another letter. And it is a letter that I take quite seriously. In the letter addressed to me, Thomas says, "I have listened to you for many years, and I appreciate your teaching and have learned from your broadcasts." And of course, let me say immediately, I'm very humbled by that, very grateful for those words. And then the word, "however." You're compromising on millions of years, evolutionary time frames, undermines the Genesis account. This is a foot in the door for a humanistic, false gospel, and naturalistic account of origins. In parentheses, another gospel, Galatians 1:6. Let me, before I go on reading this letter, just comment on that point. Whether you believe that the universe is 6,000 years old or you believe the universe is 13.8 billion years old, it does not help the evolutionary paradigm one whit. The reality is you could not create a protein molecule if the universe was 20 billion years old. And in fact, if you could create a single protein molecule in 20 billion years, creating the next one would be infinitely more time-consuming and complex than that. So the age issue does not help the evolutionary paradigm. The reality is the notion that a hippo-like animal that weighs 3,000 pounds evolves into a whale with a tail weighing 300,000 pounds is a hip evolutionary tale, but ultimately it doesn't correspond to reality. There's simply no evidence for the evolutionary paradigm. It's faith, but it's not faith founded on fact. So I'm not opening the door to another gospel. I reject the evolutionary model. And as far as the age of the universe is concerned, if the evidence in general revelation led us to a young universe, I would be just as happy as if the evidence led us to an old universe. But we have to look at evidence. We have to read the book of nature with the same diligence that we read the Bible. I mean, think about one of my favorite illustrations, supernova 1987A. This is an event. It has an identifiable beginning and an identifiable end. It's really the account of a star that exists in a distant galaxy that's 168,000 light years away. And that star explodes and it becomes a supernova. So 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, it becomes a supernova, and the light of that supernova reaches our eyeballs February 23, 1987. Unless, of course, this event never really happened because the universe is 6,000 years old. In other words, supernova 1987A would then be likened to a documentary about something that never took place at all in the real world. It's kind of like someone watching a Holocaust documentary and then saying, though I saw the documentary, the Holocaust never happened. And many more evidences like this can be given. It seems to me that the evidence points to a universe far older than 6,000 years. But again, this is not opening the doorway at all for evolution. The evolutionary paradigm simply does not fly in an age of scientific enlightenment. And if anyone listens to the broadcast on an ongoing basis, they will most certainly know that I am on the forefront of speaking out against the evolutionary paradigm for origins. Thomas goes on to say, we have watched youth recognize this compromise and leave the church to become atheist or agnostic on this issue, worshiping evolutionary creation rather than our Creator. Now, in reality, while I appreciate the heartfelt sentiment here, this is simply not true. I can't say it's not true in every single case because I don't know about every single case, but I can say in general it is simply not the case. The reality, and this is based on years of being in this field, is that the youth are leaving the church because they go to university and they hear a philosophical naturalist or an atheistic professor tell them that the Bible says that this universe is 6,000 years old, or that the Bible teaches a flat earth, or that the Bible teaches geocentrism. In other words, the atheistic professor is reading a passage in the Word of God that says the earth is firmly fixed, and they say, see, the Bible says that the earth cannot move, and therefore it can't rotate around the sun. Now, obviously, the atheistic professor has an agenda, or they simply can't read, but I can tell you that students all over the world are falling for the ruse. I have met them, I have talked to them, I have seen their faces. In my tenure as president of the Christian Research Institute, I have met tens, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of kids like this. I don't want to use hyperbole, but I can tell you I've met a lot of them. And so Thomas says, I ask you to reconsider your position. Otherwise, this compromise is much the same as Osteen. Well, you can imagine how big a wound that leaves. Osteen does not seriously grapple with the biblical text. He simply uses it to communicate whatever he wants to communicate. And in the case of Joel Osteen, it is New Thought metaphysics repackaged as Christianity using biblical texts, or might I better say, abusing biblical texts. Anyone that listens to the Bible Answer Man broadcast knows I do not do that. They may not always agree with my interpretation, but I think everyone will know that this show is not about compromise. But this is the kind of thing that happens and makes it so hard to stay financially feasible, because people hear men like Ken Ham say that I once was an erstwhile evangelical, but I've given up the faith. Why? Because I don't hold his paradigm for the age of the earth. In fact, I say that this is not an acid test for orthodoxy. This is something that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over it. The real issue is, do we take the text of Scripture literally? In other words, do we take it in the sense in which it is intended? And that means work. When we read in Genesis that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, we don't suddenly suppose that God had big feet and become like the Mormons. When we read that God said to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" we don't think that God is no longer omniscient. We don't fall into the camp of the neotheists. We don't move over to finite godism. So all these things are serious matters, but let me say, at the Christian Research Institute, we hold the Bible to be the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We will never compromise. Compromise is not in our vocabulary. And I can tell you, we have paid an enormous price for the stands that we have taken. And we take the stands that we take very simply because we believe that life and truth matter. And I don't only take uncompromising stands when it comes to theological issues, but even when it comes to issues where, when I look back at these issues and find out that we may not have done our research as well as we should have done our research, and even in cases where that kind of situation predates my tenure as president of the Christian Research Institute, in other words, goes back beyond or before 1988, even there, I take responsibility for it. Why? Because life and truth matter. I can't say, well, that was a different era, I'm not responsible. No, I take responsibility because I deeply care, and ultimately, I have an audience of one. That audience is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I believe as surely as I have flesh upon my bones that one day I will stand before Him and give an account for what I did, not only with my life, but with the platform that God has given me during the duration of my life. The Bible says, "Let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment," and I believe that. I've been doing this show for well over two decades. I have never yet come into this studio, and those that work with me can attest to that. I've never come into the studio in cavalier fashion as though, well, it's just another show, ho-hum. No, I come into the studio with fear and trembling, recognizing that people will make life decisions based on what I'm saying. And I know that through anecdotal evidence over many, many years. So I care deeply. The reason I wrote The Osteenification of American Christianity was not to become popular. You want to be popular, what you do is you saddle up to these kinds of teachers. Someone who has a billion impressions on Facebook and Twitter combined in a month I suppose if you want to be popular, you become friends with. Or you certainly support. Or you schmooze. But we're never going to do that. I wrote this book because the casualties are what I care about. The tens of thousands, yea, millions of people who no longer know what to believe or who to trust. And that's why we make it available. There's no price tag on it. It's for whatever you want to donate to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And let me say, I wrote this book word for word myself, but not a penny goes to me. It is for the support of the Christian Research Institute, plain and simple, so we can continue without compromising, doing what we do because life and truth matter. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org or simply talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We'll be right back with answers to your questions.
Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity, and such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? The current edition of the Christian Research Journal offers differing perspectives on what Scripture, the Second Amendment, and statistics have to say. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis, the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor. What cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language? Don't all religions lead to heaven? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Thank you. Houston preacher Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that is nothing more than a cultish movement. Hank Hanegraaff has written a book that combats Osteen's false teachings with truth, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers now. First up is Mary. She's listening in Modesto, California. She's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome. Thank you for asking. I'd like to make two quick statements, and then I'll ask your question.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for being such a bold witness to the world through His Spirit and truth.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say that today I'll be signing up for an automatic monthly donation to the cause and getting your book also. I think it's very important, and I agree with you on what you were speaking on.
Oh, bless you.
For my question, this kind of runs along the same thing, I think. I don't know if you have heard about this or not, but on January 14th, Pope Francis recorded on a cell phone from his friend Tony Palmer a message that was played at Kenneth Copeland's conference for charismatic leaders in Texas. And it stated how he wanted the Protestants and the Catholics to come together and that they were more alike than different. And he said diversity is divine, but division is diabolical, and that maybe we're all Catholics now. And as a Reformed Catholic, I was wondering what you think of such a thing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the reason Copeland plays it is because it gives him credibility. I think it's an olive branch on the part of Pope Francis saying that we're separated brethren but come back to the Mother Church. And it is played in a context where it's going to affect a lot of charismatic leaders who have little substance in their teaching and therefore easily swayed by pomp and circumstance, and maybe I should say by pontiff as well. So, I don't know what to make of it other than that.
Do you think some of it, Hank, might have something to do with the Catholic Church is dying? I mean, in Europe, the churches are empty, and it costs a lot to keep the church running, and maybe it's coming from the other side that the Catholic Church thinks that they need to, extend the olive branch and become more viable in today.
No, I agree. That's the point I was trying to make, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I think that he is the one extending the olive branch.
Well, I think both of them are just leading the Lord's people astray, and it's a real shame. Like I said, I'm a Reformed Catholic, and I really don't belong to any denomination now. I'm just trying to follow the Lord in His Word every day, best I can, and when He convicts me that I'm doing something wrong, I just try and listen to Him, turn, repent, and then come back as much as I can to the Lord. So it's a growing process. It's a journey.
It is a journey. And
but I didn't learn anything much from the Catholic Church other than to, do the traditions, and you don't ask questions, you don't read your Bible. And when I started reading my Bible, that's when I had to leave.
Yeah, although, in all fairness, and Mary, you probably know this better than I, but I have met a lot of Roman Catholics that do attend Bible studies and do read their Bible, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the vast majority of Catholics worldwide, and I've met many of them, are involved in the traditions of the Church and not involved in the majesty of God's Word. But that same thing can be said about the vast majority of Protestants as well. If you look at mainline Protestant denominations, they have demythologized the Bible, so they no longer hold to the virgin birth, they don't hold to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a historical fact, and so the church in general is in horrible shape. We've become biblically illiterate, and as a result of that, we no longer live in the pages of the Bible, but we live in the periphery of the Bible.
And I like what you said about, you know, coming every day to work in fear and trembling.
Oh, yes.
That's how I feel about it, yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much for your service, Hank, and all that you're doing. And I stand behind you 100%. And like I said, I'm going to sign up for automated every month donation for the cause, and that your word can go out and you can still be a light in these very dark days that we're in right now.
Well, bless you, Mary. That just means the world to me. Thank you so much.
Well, you mean the world to us. Thank you very much, and may God strengthen you, Hank.
Thank you, Mary. I want to say something about Kenneth Copeland, because Kenneth Copeland is a good example of the Osteenification of American Christianity. I mean, I think at one point he might have been the biggest of the bunch. Now, quite clearly, Joel Osteen has eclipsed him, but Kenneth Copeland has had a devastating impact on so many people. Not only in terms of their lives, because he tells people to deny their symptoms. And as a result of that, you can imagine quite a number of people would be dying or have died. But his theological aberrations are almost beyond belief. Consider the striking similarity between his assertion that Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh, and what Mormon prophet Brigham Young said when he said, Adam is our father and our God. Or compare Copeland's teaching that God is 6'2" to 6'3", weighs around 200 pounds, and has a hand span of about 9 inches, with what Joseph Smith said, that if you were to see God today, you would see him like a man in form like yourselves, in all the person, image, and very form as a man. And if that doesn't shock you, consider how Copeland claimed and continues to claim that Adam was an exact duplicate of God. And then he goes on to say that Adam was not subordinate to God. And consider how that parallels Joseph Smith's statement that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. Not only does Copeland teach that Adam and God were exact duplicates, but he also perpetuates the myth that Earth is an exact replica of the mother planet on which God lives. And all of that is but the tip of an insidious iceberg. Copeland blatantly pronounces God to be the greatest failure of all time, and then boldly pontificates that Satan conquered Jesus on the cross. And then he brashly proclaims that Christ went to hell as an emaciated, poured out, little wormy spirit. And when you think about some of the conferences that Kenneth Copeland has, and those whom he joins hands with, the absurdity becomes ever more pronounced, to the point where he and the notorious heretic Rodney Howard Brown start speaking to one another in dueling tongues. Listen to this.
Oh, Coridiesta, oh, Refiada, oh, Rapasianama, to drink. Oh, Sikaya, we drink Parombo, Mendebre, Feviva, Ambrosto, Cora della Brevibia. Oh, yeah, we're not worried what other people think, no. Doesn't matter what they think. Oh, no more diesta pagaliado. Oh, le bevedia bashodopre. In a manba no mogo lombon jemba. Me nemo mori via casti a tolo soso. Ooh, prefediesta.
Yeah, maga de boco boste de seiske kepede. Pam plam pangala ma hen. Este scap kre. Bol pam in ma e pe pam to jovo bol vira ma. Ele ma vai ke kline penste. Tam fra ma. Begrebe.
Now, as you hear the audience laughing and clapping, just picture thousands upon thousands of people with Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown speaking in tongues. Now remember, in their view, what they are doing is they are speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. And if, in fact, these are not the words of the Holy Spirit, and I quite certainly say without any fear of being wrong that they are not the words of the Holy Spirit, they are blaspheming God. And the sad thing about all of this is that there are tens of thousands of people that look on and laugh and applaud. And even sadder still, many of them are wholly sincere. They're sincere, but sincerely wrong. And I have met many of them that have fallen out of the back doors of these great meetings, great in terms of size, and they're completely confused because what Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and a host of others say simply does not come to pass. Because what they are communicating is cloaked in biblical language, but is not biblical. Says Copeland, any image that you get down on the inside of you that is so vivid that when you close your eyes, you'll see it come to pass. And by the way, he is well aware of the fact that occultists do similar things, and therefore he says the visualization they do in meditation and metaphysical practices is the perverted form of the real thing. Referring to creative visualization and positive confession, he claims that New Age is trying to do this and they get results out of it because this is a spiritual law, brother. So he's saying it works in the New Age movement, it works for New Thought metaphysics, and guess what? It works for Christians too. Why? Because it's a spiritual law. And New Age has somewhat perverted the spiritual law, but it still works for them. Well, in truth, it is not a spiritual law. It has nothing whatsoever to do with biblical principle. It comes out of the kingdom of the cults and the world of the occult. And now Christians are buying into it. Now, there's no greater exporter of this heresy today than Joel Osteen. This is what he teaches. The moment you speak something out, he says, you give birth to it. It's a spiritual principle. It works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative. And that's precisely why he says the paralytics are in their wheelchairs, because they're making negative confessions. They're feeling sorry for themselves. There is an implicit cruelty here, but it's masked by the smile and the positive affirmations. When I speak out against it, people aren't very happy. But it's why I wrote The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it is available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. We will be right back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. May the Lord continue to bless and lead us.
Christianity is under attack, but the enemy isn't who you think it is. The enemy is a new kind of so-called Christianity that exchanges the glory of the cross for the glory of consumerism. Hank Hanegraaff exposes this false religion in his new book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request yours when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next.
Thank you.
From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please go online to request your copy today, equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is John. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Sacramento, California. Hi, John.
Hello, sir. It's ironic. The last time I called was several months back, and I had asked you what you thought about Joel Osteen, and today, hearing the program, it's all about that. Hey, I was on my way to work, and I had heard a little blurb about Bill Maher. I don't know if you know who he is. He has a really very successful program on HBO. It's been on for quite some time. And on March 14th in his program, he called God, when referring to the movie Noah's Ark, he had called God a psychopathic mass murderer who gets off on watching babies drowned. And I not only found it offensive, but I found it just perplexing that no news media's outlets had said anything. And when I had asked people at work and friends and things like that, nobody had even heard of this. And it's upsetting that, you know, talk show hosts can, you know, make a comment about a Rutgers basketball team and they get fired and sued and things like that. But somebody can step over the line this far and call our God a, you know, a psychopathic mass murderer, and nobody says anything. And, I think that we can do something by, you know, for one, verifying it, which I have, and to hold, you know, HBO and Mr. Maher accountable by boycotting HBO and hit them in their bottom line.
Well, I think it is an outrage. I think one of the reasons that people don't react to Bill Maher anymore is because he has made one outrageous statement after another. It is simply deplorable that a person like him, with limited mental acumen, quite frankly, because he makes the most outrageous statements without ever thinking through them. And I'm not saying that he does not have an IQ. What I am saying is that he doesn't use his IQ. That he is consistently making self-stultifying statements. He's very brash and proud. And while he's contradicting himself, he has a smug look on his face. But I think ultimately what we need to recognize is that the Bill Maher's of this world are going to do what the Bill Maher's of this world are going to do because they are pagans. What else would they do? What we need to recognize on the other side of the ledger is that we're Christians, and oftentimes we don't do for the truth what Bill Maher is willing to do for a lie. And because of that, we're not ready to give an answer to the kinds of outrageous things that Bill Maher says. I mean, you see the Christians. I mean, you mentioned Joel Osteen. You see Joel Osteen on major interviews, and he's asked a question. Does he stand for truth? No, he obfuscates, or he says, well, we don't like to talk about sin, or we don't like to talk about that. He doesn't stand for truth. Why? Because he knows there is a cost, and popularity is his God. So the problem is not so much that Bill Maher is doing what he's doing, it is that we are not doing what we're called to be doing, and that is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, ready always to give an answer to the kinds of nonsense that Bill Maher spews forth over and over again. And by the way, in my book, Has God Spoken?, I mention many of the outrageous statements that Bill Maher makes, and I dissect them and show just how outrageous, but outrageously wrong those statements are.
I agree with you, sir, but on that point, as Christians, we tend to roll over and just take things and fight fire with love and kindness and things of that nature. And I'm not disagreeing with what you said, but my point by this call was just to get the word out. We don't have to support. I quit supporting Joel Osteen after the conversation that we had several months ago. What does it matter? Nothing to Joel Osteen. I mean, he's a billionaire. But I wasn't going to support that. And I wanted to get the word out that a lot of us have HBO. I like a lot of the shows on HBO. But I am no longer going to support a network who facilitates things that are spewed straight from the enemy out into the mainstream, and you know, to have young impressionable people listen to, and I just am trying to get the word out to as many people. You know, shame on him and shame on HBO, and you know, together we as one we can do great things.
Well, I appreciate you taking a stand. I appreciate your passion, and it's really wonderful to hear from you again. I'm glad you called me on a previous show, and it's wonderful to have you on the broadcast again today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for your call. And I have written about Bill Maher. He characterizes people who hold that God has spoken and that the Bible contains an accurate record of what God has said as obscurantists who, for all intents and purposes, have lost their brains somewhere in the narthex of a church. And he says he used to believe all these things when he was young. He believed that there was a virgin birth. He says he had believed that a man lived inside of a whale. He says he believed that the earth was 5,000 years old. But then he became educated, and he doesn't believe any of these things anymore. He goes on to say that a major reason that biblical Christianity is so dangerous is that it stops people from thinking and displaying a breathtaking form of idiosyncratic fundamentalism from the left. He asserts that the Bible was not meant to be history. It was not meant to be literal. They were parables. People read it back then and read into it something that was not literal. We're the dummies who read it literally. But just think about how outrageous a statement like that is. He's talking about a book which is, without question, the most read book in the history of humanity. It's been published in more volumes and translated in more language than any book in the history of the human race. And yet he is willing to make that kind of a statement. He's, of course, dead wrong, and he should know it. Even a cursory reading of the Bible is sufficient to recognize that the Bible is a treasury. It's replete with a wide variety of literary styles. It has poetry, it has psalms, it has historical narratives, it has didactic epistles, it has apocalyptic revelations. So to dogmatically assert that the Bible was written in parables and those who read it literally must be idiots is a serious misunderstanding of the literal principle of biblical interpretation. But where does that lead him? It leads him to not be able to read any kind of literature. Because if that's his interpretive process, no wonder he's going to be benighted when it comes to reading a scientific journal or a novel or a historical narrative other than the Bible. So he parades himself around smugly as an intellectual. And he denounces the Bible. And as John put it, he denounces the God of the Bible. And I love the fact that John has passion when it comes to this, because it is completely blasphemous. Of course, he's not alone. In fact, he's rarely unique. He is borrowing from people like Richard Dawkins, who was the Oxford professor who characterized God as the most unpleasant character in all of fiction, jealous and proud of it, a petty, an unjust, an unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a homophobic racist, genocidal, sadomasochistic, a capriciously malevolent bully. And these people are not alone. We have a man very close to where we are situated in North Carolina, Bart Ehrman, who is churning out books. Books which absolutely denigrate Jesus Christ as a false apocalyptic prophet. Books in which he says that the Bible was, well, forged. He says that the Bible is a human book from beginning to end. And he seeks to convince his ever-growing cadre of devotees that the Bible is littered with outright lies. He says eventually, and I'm quoting him now, I came to realize that the Bible not only contains untruths or accidental mistakes, it also contains what almost anyone today would call lies. The use of deception to promote the truth, he says, may well be considered one of the most unsettling ironies of the early Christian tradition. Or we can talk about, and boy, will I get in trouble here, we can talk about the President of the United States, who tells us that the Bible teaches slavery. And I can stop right there, because if that's true, it's a deal breaker for me. But the reality is, it is not true. He says that the Bible teaches that eating shellfish is an abomination, but does not give the context. And I'm sure that he would not appreciate someone taking him out of context. He doesn't talk about the theocracy. He doesn't talk about the abrogation that takes place when Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of types and shadows pointing forward to him as he comes to be the Savior of humanity. And then he says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart, and in doing so pronounces all foods clean. It is time that we as Christians stop listening to men like Osteen and started equipping ourselves so we are no longer microcosms of the culture but become change agents in the culture. As I said, pagans do what pagans do, but are we doing what we ought to be doing, being ambassadors for the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue? Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you are still hanging on. We'll get to you. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. You can also start calling 888-ASK-HANK. I'll take your calls as well for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll stay right here for another hour, continuing answering your calls. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll see you next week with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis: the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor. What cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language. Don't all religions lead to heaven? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
www.theenemy.org.